Good morning. Goeiemôre. Hulle sê, hulle is allemaal in hulle eie wêreld. But we are here. We are together in His name and we thank God again. Just look at your neighbor and say, God bless you. It's nice to be here. I can't hear you talking. Okay, I understand. Well, once again, I greet you all in the precious name of Jesus. It is such a pleasure to be here this morning. And we are not for anybody else, but for His name's sake. And we are here to lift Him up, to give Him all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor that belongs to Him alone. So as we open ourselves and just praise Him and say to Him that, I love you, Lord. You know what He does to Him? He smiles over us. He loves us so much. And in return, we will say, Lord, I love you. So we can stand together and we will sing our first song. Come bless the Lord, all His servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place. Come bless the Lord, come bless the Lord, the Lord who made the heaven and earth. He blesses you from holy Zion. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord, and bless the Lord. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Whoevermore remain the same. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord, and bless the Lord. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Father, this morning we worship You. We lift Your name on high. We exalt You, my God. Lord, You are good. You are mighty, powerful. You are a strong tower. You are faithful, my God. And we want to say that we love You. We adore You. We appreciate You. Thank You, Lord, for giving us a good night's rest. Thank You for waking us up this morning. Thank You for the very breath and strength. We are using it this morning, Lord, in return to lift Your name on high, to exalt You, my God. Father, thank You for each heart that is bowed in Your presence. Thank You for those who are still coming, Lord. Those who couldn't make it, Lord. We thank You for them, Lord. We just pray a blessing, a special blessing over our meeting this morning with You. A blessing over those who are coming and who are at home. Father, come and take Your place. Holy Spirit, touch our hearts. In Jesus' name, bless this time together now, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We can sing our next song. I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing, the people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, with selfless faith. I see a new revival stirring as we pray and see. We're on our knees, we're on our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Hold my heart and make it clean. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause, as I walk from earth into eternity. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. You may be seated. I just want to welcome each and every one of you. If there's any visitors, you are most welcome. This is the right place to be. And just thank God that you are here. And I thank God for you this morning. And just rest in His presence. I just want to leave this moment open. If there's anyone that wants to say something, testify about the goodness of the Lord, you are most welcome. It's open for you.
Good morning, everyone. Greetings to you in the lovely name of Jesus. Actually, I wanted to share this last week, but we wasn't given a chance to share because our service was quite different. I just want to encourage you with something. I'm always in the habit of asking, how was the service today, at home or whoever I meet. But last week, when I took a lift to Roland, he beat me. He asked, what did you think of the service? So we had our chat. But I'm more interested in sharing the week before when Clement preached, and he was talking about the gemstones, and I felt so good. I'm a gem of God, a beautiful stone. But the interesting thing is, I got a lift with Mark and his wife, or I don't know, his partner, and so what do you think of the service? And I was so excited because his partner or wife, I'm not sure, excuse me for that, Mark, she said she found it difficult in the end to understand. When Clement showed us the picture of the Last Supper, and he said, in this frame or the picture, who do you think, which one do you think is Judas? Obviously, we all was looking in that painting, the one who had a little bag with that 30 pieces of silver that sold Jesus. But then he was trying to point out it was that one where the salt fell over, because he was teaching us about the salt and light of the world. And he said the covenant was broken. But I too got distracted, and I didn't understand that part so well, because when he turned to see, we had a problem with our projector that day. And I lost that point. But what I was so excited that Mark explained it to us, what it was, and what he was trying to say. And, that got me excited that they was hearing the word of God, and they understood it, and some didn't understand it, because we was sharing now the input, we understood it. And then, obviously, at home when I go, after a while, I ask, so I was the service, guys. So then my daughter walked in, and then, it was so exciting to hear the father and the daughter sharing and talking and everything. And then it was, I think, Father's Day or something, that service. And then I heard my daughter say, Mommy will love this, because they were talking about parents being in church so they can bring the children and they can be in Sunday school and to learn. And I am always preaching at home that If you guys are sitting up till late in the night or going out for the evening, make sure you get up on a Sunday and go to church. Even if you all don't want to be there, the children must be there because they need to learn from a young age. That was so good. And the other thing that Clement mentioned was people may talk the talk, like the language of the Bible, and they will know the Bible, they know things, but do they really walk with the Lord? And that evening when I did my devotion, I was doing on John 3, and we all know the story of Nicodemus. When he asked Jesus, how must a man be born again when he's so old? Then he said, you are like a teacher, and you don't know that. And a lot of people pretend to know the Lord. They want to deny Christ, and they're ashamed of the gospel. Sometimes they'll be with their friends, and they don't say they're going to church. They were supposed to mention they're going to church so they can bring them. And we are like that. And I want to say something today. In our conversation with Mark, I realized, I just found that he's an electrician. So I'm just going to say it like this. I'm going to ask all those people who are sitting on the fence, they don't know which side they are falling. I'm going to call up Mark, make a call, and tell him, you must come and electrocute these people so they can take a leap of faith to know which way they fall, either this way or that way. But I just want to say, we must stand up for Jesus. The word that we listen and we hear and we must learn so we can share with others. Get into the habit of asking what you thought of the preacher or the service, not the man, the word, and encourage each other. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
My ears are still ringing from last night's rugby, Springboks versus the England. And so it's a little bit sore here. Last week I told Sunetta a little story, and she suggested that I share it with everybody here. I'll try and not make it into a colonial history talk, but a few years ago, after collecting quite a few papers and photographs from my older sisters and something that I'd inherited, inspired, I suppose, to put together this document here, which says a short illustrated history of the Troutman and Raum families. I'm a Troutman, Roland Troutman, and my mother's side is Raum, R-A-U-M, our grandparents and parents. Now, my grandfather, Johannes Raum, he was trained as a missionary in Germany, and during the colonial era, when Tanzania was German East Africa, he was brought out in the 1890s. And he was posted to various places, but one of the main places that he was posted to was a town called Machame, which is east of Arusha, and it's one of the start-off places if you climb Mount Kilimanjaro. But he was partly effective there in the early days, very difficult times, typical to any missionary in Africa, with the Sangomas to contend with and the chiefs to contend with, and the ignorance and so on. But eventually, one by one, people came to the Lord through the work of the missionaries. And anyway, slowly, slowly they started education systems and also helping out with hospitals and medical care, and people saw that that was useful. And eventually one of the chiefs would say, okay, I'd like my group under me to for the children to be educated. And so it slowly grew. And anyway, he was also posted in Moshi, where he gave, there was a seminary there, and he started training pastors in German. It was German Lutheran, by the way, of German origin. And they eventually also could go out in the field and preach and give services. And the Germans were allowed to stay there during the First World War, because it was never conquered. Namibia was conquered quite quickly through Botha and Smuts and their troops, and then some of them were transferred through to German East Africa, but under the German overall general Letta Vorbeck, they kept the British Allied forces at bay, and so most of the Germans could stay and continue with their work. But then at the end of the war, the British took over, South Africa took over Namibia, and the British took over German East Africa, and they renamed it Tanganyika. And most Germans were then deported back to Germany, just to defuse the situation. And so there was a gap, but in the mid-1920s, Germans were allowed back into now Tanganyika under British rule. And my father was under a long lease system, given land together with other Germans, and they started coffee plantations in the highlands, a bit west of Kilimanjaro. And my grandfather, Johannes Raum, was able to come back and continue at different places, but eventually ended up at Machame. By then, the congregation had grown to such an extent that a church had to be built. And they built a church 40 meters by 15 meters, and it was more like a big shed type thing, very simple building, but it was financed from the Leipzig Mission Society in Germany, under the Lutheran Church, and services were started there. It was big enough to hold seated 2,000 people and standing another 1,000 people. So the congregation had grown. And that's the first part. He died there, unfortunately, in 1936 of a heart attack, and he was buried there. So his grave and his commemoration, his name there, which is headed in German, Dein Reich komme, Thy Kingdom come, and also in Wachaga, which is the language grouping that is there, and also, I think, probably in Swahili, which is the general language in the area. And on this, what's the last time you gave a service here, was preached, was on the 16th, and I thought, well, I will take a couple of photographs of my grandfather and his grave and the church. And I sent it by WhatsApp to him. And I said, let's try and get it here. I said to him, "Hi, Christopher. We pray that your travels are safe and fruitful. Your good wife said to our congregation this morning, that's the 14th of June, that you are in Tanzania. If you are anywhere near Machame, close to Arusha, you could visit my grandfather's grave in the Machame Cemetery. He was a senior or bishop by the time he died for the German Lutheran Church mission, and had a church built in the mid-1920s. His name was, I said Josef Raum, was actually Johannes Raum, I got that wrong, and he died on 27th June 1936. And there's, I see the photo of him and the church, and also the grave. Then he phoned me back from Dar es Salaam, and we had a bit of a chat. And he said, "Yes, I'm going to Arusha, and it's not too far out of the way, so I'll try and go and visit the grave and the church." And so, yeah, next thing, a few days later, he sent me a photograph of the church, which was now a bit more church-looking, with entrance veranda paved and a tower, probably a church tower, and two smaller towers next to it. And the inside with benches similar to this, quite big. And then a plaque, which was... mentioned his name, and October 1927. So I presume next year that church will be its centenary year. Then also a commemorative picture of a cross and some wordings underneath it, and then a couple of pics of the grave, and his name on it and the date, and Dein Reich komme in three languages. So I'd just like to thank the Lord that this could happen. It means a lot to me, and I sent it to my sister in Germany as well, and she appreciated it because she had been there a few decades before. And to my other sister's family a bit, so they appreciate the bit of family history. And just like to pray to the Lord that Christopher comes back safely with this long trip back to here.
Amen. You went on a journey now. Okay. Is there anybody else? If not, I just want to read the notices. Oh, okay. Come on, Debbie. Sorry. Okay. No. Oh, no problem.
Good morning, everybody. I'm actually a really shy person, but missionary John reminded me that if you are shy for God, He will be shy for you as well. So today I just want to testify what God did for me. This past Thursday was it a week that I've been discharged from Worcester Jail. My husband got me locked up after 23 years of marriage, and I decided that Sunday I'm done with this. I can't take this anymore. I have to stand up for myself. So he got me locked up. But in that 3 weeks that I was incarcerated, I accept God again. I felt His peace. I've seen so many people there who did very bad things, who bowed their knees in front of God and was crying and accepting Him. And since I'm back, I just want to say I'm at peace.
Amen.
There's so much love and light in me. So what happened to me had to happen so that I can get back to my God again.
Amen.
But thank you for your time.
Amen. Anybody else? Okay. Okay. Amen. Okay. The notice goes as birthday Saturday. Is it coming Saturday, Moira? Okay, Marius. Marius is gonna be his birthday. Okay, and on Wednesday will be board meeting 6 p.m. Thursday, as we all know, pre-meeting 6 p.m. Now, this is such a big note now. After the worship service today, we will be holding the orientation session for all new members. You know who you are. All new members. You must have filled the form, yes. So, we will meet after the service. If you would like to become a member, attend that meeting. And while you are there, you can fill in the form as well. You're welcome. I just want to say also, here's a cross earring. I don't know whether it's gold or what, but this thing has been lying there and it's going, coming and going. So I don't know who it belonged to. But this morning, you know, the Lord reminded me, there was one time that I was blessed with a gold chain with a cross. In Durban. Then I went to Swaziland. I wasn't saved as yet. I went to Swaziland. So when we got on the border, we stood over there, and suddenly, I can't remember if somebody asked me, where's your chain? Do you know, people, I went from one end to the other end, went to search for that gold chain, the cross. But I just realized now, I needed Jesus. I needed Him. So, the cross is there. He was on the cross, but He's no more on the cross. We need to go unto Him. And you know, I thank God that it was not the cross that saved me. It was Jesus. So here is a cross. I don't know whose cross it is, but come and fetch your cross and get to Jesus also after that. Amen. Yes. We're going to take up our love offering and we're going to sing, "You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God."
You are my strength when I'm weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill me up. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Yeah, but it's cold this morning, huh? Can't we have tea before the sermon? let's close our eyes. Lord, we thank you for everything that you give us. And Lord, we ask this morning that you will give us wisdom and your mindset when we use these gifts to spread your kingdom, to build your kingdom amongst all. Amen.
Amen. Can we sing together, "Jesus, We Enthrone You," and after that we give over to the preacher.
Good to see all of you here, and please feel welcome in the presence of our Father. We are in His presence, and we sang the song, "Jesus, We Enthrone You." It's about Him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Before we arrived here, He was here already. He was here with His love and His mercy to meet with us, with each one of us. And let us just pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you've called us, you've chosen us, you've loved us, Thank you that we, your children, are all very special to you this morning. And we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will open our hearts, open our eyes, and whatever it is you want to teach us and show us, we pray that we will be receptive this morning. Holy Spirit, we pray that we will not quench you. We pray we will not put your fire out this morning, but that you will just have your way to counsel, to comfort, to guide, to lead. In Jesus' name, amen. My passage is on Revelation chapter 22. I know a lot of us are really weary with Revelations, but if you understand the context, it helps a lot why we have the book of Revelations. I won't be able to speak much of it, but I'm going to start reading first. Revelation chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in that city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the lamp, the light of a lamp, or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. They will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place." Verse 7. "Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Do not do that. I am your fellow servant, and with your brothers the prophets, and all who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Him who is vile continue to be vile.'" Sorry, there's an echo. Can you sort it out? "Let him who does right continue to do right, and let him who is holy continue to be holy." Verse 12. "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city." Verse 15. "Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood." Verse 16. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star." Verse 17. "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' Let him who hears, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. we read Revelation chapter 22. But from chapter 21 paints a glorious vision of the new heaven. There's a new heaven and a new earth coming, where God will dwell with his people and where he wipes away every tear. And in chapter, and flowing from that promise, and in chapter 22, so in chapter 21, we've got the exterior of the temple of, how it will be built. Chapter 22, we go more into the interior. Okay? I'm just giving a little summation before I start. So 22 assures believers that Christ's return is near. This is what we see. And it's repeated three times, which emphasize certainty and urgency. In the midst of persecution and trouble, and in this instance with the early church, the early believers, their hope was fading. John calls the early church and calls us as well to live in obedience and readiness, prepared for the coming of the Lord. As my sister Miriam was encouraging us to be devout, to be committed. Now, if we look at the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, we find that God was having fellowship with mankind. He came in the cool of the day. There was that invitation, that welcoming. When God came to the garden and Adam and Eve had hidden away, he said, Adam, where are you? God had come. God was there to have fellowship. And so there's that call to fellowship. And we see in the end, there's still that invitation is still open in the last book of Revelation. It is still open. Now this call, this title of my sermon will be the final invitation. Come. Come. It is still open. God is calling us to come. It's not a command to stay away or a warning to keep a distance. It is the voice of Jesus saying, come. The Spirit and the Bride saying, come, come closer. Come, come. And throughout Scripture, we'll see that the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is always calling us. The words may not be the same words be used, but the intention is God is saying, come, come to me, come and experience this life. Now, I want us just to walk through this portion that we've read, this passage we've read. There are four types of invitations, or fourfold invitation. The first invitation is, come to the river of life. Okay? I'll get back there. The second invitation says, come in obedience and readiness. Sometimes we are following the Lord, but we're not in readiness. We're not in obedience. We say we're following God. Okay, so the second one is come in obedience. The third one is, we come by joining in God's mission. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. That's the third one. And the fourth one is, come freely to receive the gift. Okay, so I'm going to now delve more into it. So John is on the Lord's Day. John is out on the island of Patmos. He is a prisoner for the government. He's a prisoner because he's a follower of Jesus Christ. And on the Lord's Day, he says he's in the Spirit and he has this great panoramic vision. He sees so much. Now, the book of Revelation the chapters are not in chronological order. They have been written more in a literal pattern. If you're seeing a great vision, you're not going to be able to put things in order. It's what captures you that you're going to be able to describe. You won't be able to describe everything. So it's not necessary that 22 was is part of the scene from 21. It's not necessary that was the sequence of events. You understand? But anyway, the point is we are looking at the new Jerusalem, the heavenly city. So John sees this river. Now I want us to imagine this river. There's the throne of the Lamb, and there's the throne of God. And there's this mighty river flowing through this great city. And the main street was gold, but in the middle of the street, we've got this mighty river that's constantly flowing. At the side of the river, we've got the tree of life bearing fruit, and its leaves, as the Bible says, are for the healing of the nations. And this tree bears fruit, this tree bears fruit every month. There's fruit. We don't have that in normal life. So, okay, let's go to, and it says the tree of life is as clear as crystal. Now I want us just to go back a little here. When we look at the water, what did that tree mean to the first readers? What did it mean to those people? First the water. For the first readers, they were going through a difficult time. Some of them were going to second and third generation Christians. So some of the apostles had already died. They had martyred. Some of the early witnesses were no longer there. And these people were in persecution by the Roman government. The Emperor Domitian was treating these people badly. They were executed. They lost their homes. Things were really tough for them. And they were losing heart. When is Jesus coming? When is Jesus coming? How can we suffer like this? How can we continue? That's the same thing we go through when you're going through a difficult time. When is the solution coming? What is happening? And so the same encouragement comes to us that He is still in control. He has a plan. And the water for them, for us, we open a tap and the water runs out. But for the early people in the East, they were experienced deserts and dry land. So when you spoke about a river, it meant life to them. We know how much water means to us, but for them it spoke much greater volumes than it speaks to us. There was life, there was hope. The river of life in Revelation, it symbolizes that eternal life is flowing from God and from the Lamb. And this river that's flowing, it sustains the redeemed in the New Jerusalem. It's going to sustain us. And I want to say this vision that John had is in the New Jerusalem and the Holy City. But right now, that river is already flowing from the throne of God to us. Because it's the river of eternal life. It's the Spirit. It's what God is doing. Now, eternal life, it represents the unending life that God provides to His people. The unending life. We see this water, this picture of water, also in John 4:14. Last time I spoke about Jesus saying, come, you know, whoever's thirsty, come and drink. We see Jesus also invited. The river is also described as clear as crystal. It symbolizes purity, holiness, and the perfection of God's provision. The river that God provides is perfect for us. It's adequate for us. There's enough in there for us. The river also symbolizes, together with the tree of life, the restoration of what was lost in Eden. And even more, okay? We'll go further to that. So the river brings healing. The river brings renewal. And there's the removal of the curse from creation. In Ezekiel 47, we see this in John's, Ezekiel's description. The river is flowing out of the temple. It's a great river. Wherever that river flows, there's life. There the fish are flowing. The river gets so big and magnificent. You can start out knee high and then ankle deep, knee high, thigh deep. Eventually, it is so deep that you can swim. So this is the provision that God has made for us. And it speaks about the leaves for the healing of the nations. The fruit we will eat. But what about the leaves for the healing of the nation? Why the healing of the nations? Have you ever thought about that? Why didn't it just say for the healing of the people? Or for the healing of the righteous? The leaves symbolize, it might imply, that it's not only for the Jews. It's for all the nations. It's only in the Spirit of God, in the kingdom of God, can the wounds and the breaches of the nations be healed. We have a lot of wounds in our nations, a lot of breaches between the nations, and it's only in God that it will be healed. And the river also symbolizes, we spoke a bit about it, spiritual sustenance. So from the river, we are nourished, we are satisfied, the deepest longings of our soul. And it provides eternal refreshment. So that's why Jesus invites us to the river. He says, come, we have to drink from that river, from that well. Now, David says, many years before in Psalm 35, verse 6 to 9, he speaks of God's priceless love, His unfailing love, which sustains us. You know, he says, both the high and the low find refuge under your wings. He says, God, you preserve both man and beast. God preserves it. That's how great is His love. Then he goes on further. Both the righteous drink from the river of delights. What river is he speaking of? David already saw it. He says, for with you is the fountain of life and the feast at the abundance in God's house. So the righteous, we can delight, we can enjoy the delights in God's river. And we can feast. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to feast on Him. He wants us to enjoy Him. He goes on further and He says, in your light we see light. It's not our light. It's God's light that we're able to see things clearly. So we see Jesus is both the light and the life. This word is used synonymously in the Bible. The light and the life of the world. Water, life, and the light of the world. Now this river, it flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It highlights the unity of God, the Father, God, the Son. And also the river is also explained, portrayed as the Spirit. So we've got from the Father and the Son, the Spirit goes forth. It's, sometimes we understand as salvation, but it's all one and the same thing. It's from God. It's God's salvation. The river is the central feature of New Jerusalem. And the city is where God's presence is fully realized and His servants worship and serve Him there. We serve Him there. We all are serving Him on earth, but in this vision. And as they serve Him there, they seeing His face directly, bearing His name. That is the privilege and the wonder that we have. And while we are on earth, Hebrews 4:14 encourages us to come confidently to the throne of grace. It's that same grace that's flowing. We must come confidently in our time of need to receive mercy and grace. Because Jesus understands us. He sympathizes with us. Now we can see the imagery. It's recorded also in the Garden of Eden. We've got to put the tree and the river. Ezekiel, we've got the river. So it's a confirmation of what is there. It also says that there will be no more curse, no more night, no more separation. God Himself will be their light, and they will reign forever. If we can think of it like this, think of a parched traveler going through the desert. His lips are cracked. His strength is gone. He sees a stream of water. That is the image here. Our souls are weary from sin and brokenness, thirsty. We are invited to drink deeply from the river of life, the invitation. So that's what it means. To come means we enter into God's eternal provision. We respond. It's there for us. It's up to us to come and drink. There's a popular saying, you can take a horse to the river, but you cannot force it to drink. It's the same thing with us humans. God has provided everything we need to live victorious, to enjoy Him, but we have to come. There's action involved. Okay. Let's go further now. That was our first few verses. Then from Revelation 6:15, we see the angel affirms, and it says 15, these words are true and they are trustworthy. So because they are trustworthy, there's a promise, there's an urgency. And three times it's mentioned, Jesus mentions about His coming soon. You know, the Greek word take emphasizes an immediacy. His coming is certain. And it requires readiness. We all must be ready. We don't know the time or the hour. Beside His coming, we don't know the time where He will call us home. So we must be ready, young and old alike. But the question is, for the first readers of the letter, why did John record it three times? Why did Jesus say it three times in this? As I said earlier on, it's because the early Christians were facing severe persecution. They were facing apathy. They were facing false teaching. And so they needed to be encouraged. They needed to be strengthened that they don't give up. They continue doing what they know to do. They continue hoping. And the Emperor Domitian was also demanding worship. For the Christian, Jesus Christ is Lord. The emperor was saying He is Lord. And the Christians refused to bow to Him and say He is Lord. And so they needed this emphasis. And that same emphasis is for you and I. We cannot live in apathy. As my sister Miriam said, you know, we're either this side or that side. We've got to be totally committed. If we're in between, we are quite vulnerable. You know, if you're in between, you can slip the side, you can slip the side. You've got to be on this narrow road, as Jesus put it out. So our second call is to obedience. We come to the river of life, but we come in obedience and we come in readiness. That's the second point. We must come in obedience, come in readiness. The scripture says that the believers, it says that they wash, those who have washed their robes. We live, living in repentance, purity, and obedience is those who have accepted and appropriated the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That means you've accepted Christ in your life and you're living for Him. And you're allowing His work in your life and the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Verse 11 says, let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. Let the holy person continue to be holy. What is it saying to us? Why does He say this? With Jesus, there is no compulsion. It's only an appeal. It's the choice the individual makes. It's a choice we all have to make. Every day we make at least maybe more than 100 choices. Am I going to do this or do that? Am I going to do this? We've got to make a choice. So Jesus doesn't force us. He appeals to us and He leaves it open to us. So the second is a call to holiness. And when we live that life, then we are granted access to the tree of life and entry into the New Jerusalem. Verse 12 says, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what he has done. When Jesus comes back, He's coming as judge and as rewarder. He's going to reward each one of us. We all will be accountable for the things we've done and haven't done. And He says, verse 13, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. What does that mean? This means the first, it means there's an idea of completeness. Jesus has everything within Himself and needs no other source. Whatever we need is in Christ. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So we are in the call to holiness and obedience. We are like a bride, the scripture tells us, a bride preparing for a wedding. Now the church, we the body of Christ, must live in anticipation of Christ's arrival. Readiness, ready in repentance, cleansing, and steadfast hope. We have to be ready. The bridegroom can't come and the bride's not ready. The bride must prepare herself. The third point is we come by joining in God's mission. The scripture says the Spirit and the bride say come. The bride is the church of Jesus Christ. You and I, the whole church universally, we participate in God's mission. There's a concept that says, a concept of Missio Dei, which says, explains that in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all at work all the time to create a people for themselves. And the people will call God their God, and He will be God to them. So God, from the beginning of the history of time until the end, we will have this mission. And at the end, we will celebrate with the Lord and go and be with Him eternally. But we still have an opportunity to participate in God's mission. God does the work, but God invites us, He invites you and me to come and be a part of His mission. We do the small part. He does the big part. So when we arrive at a situation, we've got to say, Lord, what are You up to here? What is Your mission here? When we get up in the morning, we say, Lord, what are You up to today? What is Your mission today? And wait and listen. He will tell you. What is it He wants you to do today? He will show you. He will lead you in his mission. When you arrive at that situation, you'll find that God has already been working in that life. Because God loves each and every person. God is speaking to people, drawing people, urging people, convicting people through dreams, through visions, through words, through nature, in different ways. So when you arrive, God is already there. So we've got to tap in and say, what is it, Lord, You want me to do? what is it you want me to say? Or what is it you don't want me to say? Should I just be? And as we listen in, the Lord will show us what is our small part within his mission. So we are privileged to be invited into God's mission. We one day in the final kingdom, a consummation of God's kingdom, where we will continue to serve with him, but to bring about the consummation, God invites us there. Now, it also means that every believer who hears the gospel, we are commanded to pass it on, to share it. We share it in different ways. Some of us have an emphasis on justice. Some of us have an emphasis on the gospel preach. Others have an emphasis on actions or the life. Sometimes we do all of them, but there's certain emphasis you'll find. Some places will work with those who are vulnerable. Others will work with us. But we all have a little part to play in God's mission. At your home, at your school, at the supermarket, at the traffic department, in the car, while you're in the car, wherever you are, there is that opportunity where you can participate in God's mission. There is nowhere we can be where God is not there. There's nowhere we can be where God is not active. He's active all the time. Jesus said, my Father neither slumbers nor does he sleep. He is always at work. We go to sleep, we get tired, but God doesn't get tired. He doesn't sleep. He's at work. So we don't have to put pressure on ourselves. We can just rest. I remember in the early days of my Christian experience, coming from Catholic, charismatic Pentecostal, you know, it was like, we're working for God. We must work for God. No. I've learned I don't work for God. You know, it's God working. He's just inviting me. So the pressure's off me. It's God's work. I am participating with God. In your home, as we prepare the meals, as you set the table, you are participating with God, setting the table. He's there, you're preparing the meal. So our fourth point is, now we must come freely. It says, let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life come. You know, so this call is universal. It's for everyone, whoever wishes to come. It's a gracious free gift to come and receive the gift of salvation, the gift of life. It's not by merit. It's received by faith through grace, God's grace. Something we cannot do, something we do not deserve. God works in us, his grace. The second part of this is this invitation to come freely. Let the one who's thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to come and take the free gift of life. We often use as a gospel message for new believers. But I believe it is also for us, disciples of Christ. When you feel a nudging in your spirit, a nudging by the Holy Spirit, God is calling you. He's calling you into fellowship. He's calling you throughout the day. Sometimes for extended times of prayer and reflection. Sometimes for solitude. Sometimes for prayer and fasting. Sometimes just to take a walk. Just take a walk. We don't have to fill all our moments with busyness and activity. That is what's happening in this world today. The spirit of the world is keeping our minds busy. You do one thing, and then something else pops up. We must have moments where we are quiet and solid and just allow God to speak to us. We can be free. That's how it was in the beginning. It wasn't so full since civilization. From Genesis, we had the garden, and suddenly in Revelations, we've got the city, but then we've got the tree and the river in there. But civilization, man turning away from God, there was civilization that came in, and then we've got the city. And so the city is there because people are familiar with the metaphor of the city and the understanding of the city. That's why the kingdom of God is presented like that. But the point is, I want to make is that sometimes that nudging, that thing in your heart, I need to pray and fast. I feel it. I have a hunger. I want more of God. I want to understand things more. It is Him, the Holy Spirit, who is prompting you. It is Him who is nudging you, who is calling you to Himself. I want to have you to myself. I've got to tell myself as well and keep reminding myself, it's not about everything else. God also wants you alone, not worrying about everybody else and everything around you. Me and God. Just, God, here I am. Jesus, I come. I come to you. Because he wants to love us. He wants to embrace us. He wants to teach us. He wants to comfort us because each one of us are unique and very, very precious to him. So I want to say this morning, to come means to accept Christ's offer. Without price, there's no price attached to it. We don't pray for everything. We don't pay for everything that God offers us. It's freely given. It's priceless. It's valuable. It's more valuable than all the things that we are putting all our attention on. Dr. Andrew Murray says, I might quote him, he says that every moment we have the opportunity, we have the privilege and the opportunity to decide where we will set our affections. Every moment we have the opportunity and privilege where we can decide where we will set our affections. So even while you're driving, while you're sitting in company, Jesus is inside your heart. You can turn to him. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, you're special. Jesus, lead me. The company can continue, but we need those moments alone with him. We need extended time with him, quality time, and we need those moments alone with him. So we have this choice. In closing, the Bible closes with an invitation. It's not an exclusion. But who is giving us the invitation? It is Jesus, the root and the offspring of David. What does that mean? That means he's both the eternal source of being, which is King David. He's the eternal source. He is the promised descendant of David, God's chosen king. Revelations, there's two things that stand out in Revelations. There's this whole revelation of who Jesus really is, if you look at the train of it. And then there's this encouragement for us to come, that God is in control, even though through Revelations chapter 1, right until let's say 20, you know, it seems like history is dark and we can't understand what's happening. But God is still in control. And then finally we see the new Jerusalem coming. The new earth. We see the city and everything that God has prepared for us. So this morning, God calls us. Sorry, I missed the one point. Jesus also says, I am the bright morning star. The morning star is the brightest of all, which chases away the darkness of the night. The morning star. Now Jesus is the best and he is the brightest who chases away before him. He chases away the night of sin and death flees before him. So so we can see that whole essence of new earth, new heaven. All the darkness is gone. The earth has been polluted by sin, but now light is coming. Newness is coming. So we are invited to come. We are invited to come to the river and drink every day, more than just a day. We are invited to come in obedience and readiness. We are invited to come and join and partner in God's mission. And we are also invited how? To come freely. Come free. Sometimes we know these things, but we all need encouragement. We need to be reminded that we can come. We don't have to allow the things of life to get us down. When we feel overwhelmed, when we feel things are heavy, we just come and we drink. We come and we just relax. We come and just come to the river of life. Come and drink. Come and find refreshment. Come and find sustenance. So together let us say amen. And the final thing Jesus says, yes, I am coming. That's the final one. So we together can say amen, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. When we're saying, come, Lord Jesus, we are speaking about his coming, his great coming, but we're also saying, come into my situation. Come into my life. I'm welcoming you. And I am responding to you. And as we do that, verse 21, the verse just after says, the final verse of chapter 22 says, John closes and he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with God's people. That's what we need, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we come in obedience, as we come freely, as we come to the river of life to drink, God's grace May it flow freely over each and every one of us. Let's just bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. If there's anyone that wants to respond to God, not to me, you can just raise your hand. I'm not going to look at it. Nobody's going to look at you. Just raise your hand as an indication to God that whatever it is the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about, whatever it is that He wants you to do, just respond to Him. Just respond to Him. When we respond to Him, He comes to us with abounding love and faithfulness. I'm going to pray. Father, we just thank You this morning for Your word. Your word is life. Your word is eternal. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the bone from the marrow, the spirit from the soul, discerning the intents and thoughts of our hearts. Father, we pray that You will continue to speak to us, to help us, to guide us, to lead us. We ask that You will bless each and every one, and that we will feel welcome to come. We will respond to Your call to come, and that Your grace may abide over us. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for each and every one here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Come, let us stand together and sing our last song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with the load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. As we go into this week, may we go into this week and say, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Come, Lord Jesus. Come and have Your way in my life. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all God's people. And you all say, Amen.
Amen.
Amen.